Good, and as always, thank you very much for everybody being on this call. It's our first since last Friday, and we've had a long weekend under our belt. And I'll tell you right off the bat, it was very successful from a policing point of view. There was absolutely no incidents reported through TPS. So again, congratulations to the city of the residents of the city of Timmins for doing the right thing right. We've got the Portman Health Unit on the line, so Pat, I'm sure, was that Chantel I heard?
It is Chantel.
Okay, then we'll hand it over to you, and I got more good news today on the lack of new cases, so to you, Chantel.
Thank you. Hello, everyone. As Mayor Peary just reported, we do not have any new positive cases to report today, and it has been 9 days since the last positive case has been reported. We are very pleased to see this trend, but we do need to be cautious. The virus is still circulating in our communities, and we are expecting more cases as the days come along. So we do need everyone's help to help keep this trend going. So we need to continue to stay at home as much as possible, send only one member per family to run errands when possible, wash hands frequently, and maintain a physical distancing of 2 meters when you're out. And one of the most important things is if you are not well, please stay home. This will help protect others from infection. So this brings our total number of confirmed cases to 65, four of which remain active. To date, we have completed 4,372 tests, and 278 of these tests are currently under investigation. 55 cases are resolved, and we have the 6 deaths related to COVID. As the restrictions are being lifted in the province, more people are out in the community, and so that means more opportunity for a transmission of infection. So we want to monitor the ground impact of the changes on the spread of COVID in our communities. One of the ways that we want to monitor the situation as the restrictions are lifted, is to do increased testing. Increased testing allows us to identify as early as possible anybody who would be positive for COVID, and implement measures to ensure that the spread is limited. And as well, it gives us a good understanding of what the situation of COVID is in our communities. So we are encouraging anyone with symptoms, even if they are mild, to please call their primary care provider or the Porcupine Health Unit for a referral to our assessment centers. Our assessment centers are still up and running throughout the district, and we do still have our COVID information line that is open from 9 to 5 today. The toll-free number is 1-800-461-1818, or individuals can call their local offices to get a referral to the assessment center. We are encouraging people to maintain a positive sense of well-being during tough times by focusing on what you can control and let go of what you cannot. Try to take comfort in the support from friends and family, and be grateful for the small everyday things in life. Again, please continue the great work that you have been doing to minimize the spread or reduce the spread of COVID-19. Continue to do physical distancing if you're out and about. Please stay home if you're not well. Wash your hands frequently. Avoid touching your face, your nose, and your mouth. Cough into your sleeve or into a tissue. And make sure that you're washing commonly touched surfaces frequently. So stay home if you're not well. Stay safe and stay positive.
Thank you, Chantel. Next, we'll go to Blaise McNeil from the Timmins and District Hospital.
Good afternoon, Mr. Mayor and everyone on the call. As the government announced last week, along with the expanded list of business opening, hospitals will look to gradually resume scheduled surgeries and procedures. As a result of this announcement, the Timmins and District Hospital started the slow, measured process with planning for the resumption of services. This complex process requires a considerable amount of time and work. A detailed plan must exist that balances the increase for surgical services and non-urgent procedures while ensuring capacity for future COVID-19 needs. This planning process looks into factors like our current capacity for patients, ensuring an adequate supply of PPE for current operations and future COVID needs, and the ability to quickly create COVID-19 capacity in the event of a second wave of the virus. This is also a there is also a complex approval process required. It requires internal review and approval, then approval through the Medical Officer of Health and a Regional Steering Committee before being put into action. While the hospital begins to plan, we are still operating under Directive Number 2 for healthcare providers, which requires all non-essential elective services cease or be reduced to minimal levels. We understand that waiting for the rescheduling of surgeries and non-emergency procedures is hard on patients and their families. Our focus remains to ensure that any resumption of service is done in a measured, safe way. We want to thank our community and those affected by these changes for being patient and supportive through this pandemic. While many others are, we, like many others, are beginning to think about how operations will change as we learn to live in a COVID world. While there isn't a clear picture of what this looks like today, we can say the hospital will not go back to pre-pandemic capacity until a vaccine is readily available to the public. We are asking you, especially with this beautiful weather we are having, to stay safe, stay home unless it's for essential travel. Please wash your hands often. Thank you.
All right, thank you for that. We'll go to the media for any questions on health needed or to the Timmins and District Hospital.
It's Bob at Moose FM. I have a question for Chantal Riopelle, and I hope maybe the mayor will weigh in on this too. But over the weekend, as beautiful as it was, anecdotally at least, I heard of several instances of people gathering in larger groups and inviting people into their homes and letting on like there was no pandemic. And I'm wondering, Chantal, if you think maybe the streak of days without positive cases is being misinterpreted.
Again, as I said, we are quite pleased to see the stretch of no positive cases, but as the restrictions are lifted, we are expecting other cases to surface or to be reported or identified. So as nice as it is, we do need to be cautious and to continue those public health measures so that we don't go back in time in the past with the increased cases.
Mayor Peary, do you would you like to weigh in on this?
Well, it's always discouraging to hear reports of those types of actions, Bob. I will tell you that to me, 9 days is one more day closer to 14, and 14 has always kind of been the magic number for us. And anytime I hear of people getting together and doing things like that, then And I am discouraged. I will defer, I hope, to their good sense and their knowledge of the safe practices that the people that they're associating with have been doing. There is a sense of tiredness and weariness, I believe, Bob. We've got 4 active cases. We've done everything right. And I'm asking for patience. We're, in my opinion, and this is my opinion only, I know that all the warnings from the Timmins District Hospital and Chantal are correct. I think we can very much see ourselves out of this safely in the very foreseeable future. The businesses are opening. I know on Saturday it was very, very busy, but I'm told very respectful. People, you know, like getting Canadian Tire, it took a long time to get through, but everybody was patient, everybody was respectful. It's those types of attitudes that I think are great. I know the fire ban was lifted just in time for the long weekend. I didn't hear of any problems associated with the fire ban, but Bob, look, my mother-in-law died Saturday night, so I was preoccupied this weekend, and I didn't hear a lot of reports on anything, really, to tell you the truth. But I think that the city and the residents have responded terrifically for this. 9 days, as I say, is one day closer to 14. We won't be having this conference until a week today. It'll be the 27th. And by that time, we'll be able to report on exactly what happened on the long weekend, if there's a consequence of any actions that are out there that were not appropriate. But there is there a false sense of optimism? I hope not, Bob. I hope not.
Thank you. Thank you, Your Worship, and my condolences to you and your family on the loss of your mother-in-law.
All right. Any other questions from the media in relation to the health unit or the Timmins and District Hospital?
I have a couple with Elena. CTV. Oh, sorry. No, it's okay,
Lydia.
Go ahead.
Lydia, then Elena. Go ahead, Lydia.
Okay, sorry, Elena. This question is for Blaise McNeil.
Go ahead.
Mr. McNeil, when you say that the hospital will not be going back to its pre-pandemic ways until a vaccine is found, is that correct?
That's correct.
So, you know, what then people, what should people expect then as, you know, if they need services at the hospital just to, when they present, to be patient and follow the protocols that are in place there? Or what do you say to people? That's quite a broad statement to make. People would have a lot of questions, I think.
Well, it is, we haven't received guidance documents yet from the province or the Chief Medical Officer of Health. So this is a bit of speculation on my part, but we have very congested waiting areas in the hospital, and we have to find a way to allow people to safely wait and come and receive services, for example. I suspect that some level of screening will remain in place for this foreseeable future at the hospital entrances. Any procedure that requires PPE will extend the length of that procedure by the time it takes to adequately put the PPE in place and adequately remove it and then do a proper cleaning post-procedure. So, you know, just the logistics of seeing patients has changed. We have fairly restrictive visitor restrictions in place right now. I suspect that some restrictions will remain even as the hospital begins to embark on elective procedures and not urgent procedures. Just a simple... simple everyday things we have to find a way to deal with in a very measured way. You know, how do we deal with high-touch surfaces? How often do we keep surfaces clean? We have a banking machine. How do we allow access to that in a safe way? So I think what Chantel has outlined earlier is that we are living with an active virus in circulation. And our ability to enjoy as normal a life as possible is really contingent on how well we are able to contain that virus at a very low level and deal with any clusters or outbreaks that may occur as the virus continues to circulate. So it does mean a change. It doesn't necessarily mean that it will change if we can go back to some semblance of normality. But we won't be going back to a pre-COVID normality, at least at the hospital.
Thank you. And just a follow-up question, is there any headway on a vaccine? Maybe the health unit can talk about that. I may have missed that because I tuned in a couple minutes late.
I don't. So it's Chantal. I know that money has been invested, funding has been made available to develop a vaccine. Unfortunately, I can't comment on where they're at with that vaccine.
Perhaps I could comment, Chantel.
Okay.
The vaccine requires randomized clinical trials and approval by Health Canada. That takes a certain period of time, and it's done carefully, and it's peer-reviewed, and it's not done overnight. Then it requires mass production. Once a vaccine is identified, that takes time. And then it requires wide distribution to the population. That takes time. So each of those steps will not occur overnight.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Over to you, Elena.
Thank
Thank you. I just wanted to touch on the long-term care homes that they announced an independent review. I guess what would that look like? I know it's still early to tell, but what would that look like? And then also, just to clarify, if there's been one or two of our deaths have been in long-term care homes.
So this is Chantal. As you mentioned, Premier Doug Ford did announce that he's commissioning an investigation, a report on long-term care facilities in COVID-19. I'm not sure of the process. I'm assuming that there'll be consultations with the different facilities and public health units across the province to determine the processes put in place, the precautions put in place, etc. As for deaths related to COVID in long-term care facilities in our area, we have not experienced any of them. So we have no deaths in long-term care facilities related to COVID.
Okay, thank you.
All right, any further questions from the media? Okay, hearing none, then we'll go to you, Brian. Brian Marks with the Cochrane DSAT.
Thanks, Dave. Good afternoon. The emergency medical services numbers over the long weekend, I'll give them to you as an average. We had an average of 22 calls per day throughout the district, and an average of 13 per day in Timmins, and an average of 5 of those failed screening protocols. EMS will be moving forward to develop plans to resume our community paramedicine clinics. And we'll be doing this in conjunction with our partners at Public Health and TDH because we don't want to compromise the capacity required to maintain services at the assessment centers. But we did feel it was important to resume community paramedicine clinics just given the knowledge that there are people in our vulnerable populations and in particular in DSAB seniors buildings who may not be reporting to primary care physicians or the emergency rooms, and we want to make sure we get in front of any health issues for our vulnerable populations. Food security, kudos to the volunteers over the weekend who prepared and distributed 557 meals over 4 days. Big thanks to the volunteers at the First Baptist and those helping out with the distribution at the Lord's Kitchen site. The homeless numbers remain the same, with 30 patrons at the college, 18 at the McIntyre, and 10 at Living Space. And that's all for today's update.
All right. Thank you, Brian. We have Chief Loughran, who has a message as well.
Good afternoon. Shout out to all the first responders, frontline people, for the great job that they continue to do. I just wanted to quickly touch on, I know Mayor Peary had raised it related to the lifting of the fire ban. I'm going to say that fires in Timmins are something that is very, very popular. So from the minute that was announced on Friday, I'm going to say in the first 2 hours we had well over 200 calls. Probably did 700 or 800 permits over the weekend, and we had 6 calls for service on Saturday related to burning complaints where people did not have proper burning permits. They were educated, fires were put out, but again, in general, it went very, very well. A little bit overwhelming for the service, but kudos to all the people out there who did get permits and who adhered to the social distancing and keeping the fire at a reasonable level. So again, thanks very much to the public.
All right, thank you, Chief. I'll go back to the media for any questions.
I have a clarification question, and this might be a stupid one, but it's kind of important.
All right, go ahead.
So I know it was last week that the province extended the state of emergency until June 2nd, but then yesterday they extended emergency orders until May 29th. Are those two separate things, or are they the same, or is there like a gap between the ending of the emergency orders and the state of emergency, if it is the end, to kind of, is it kind of a little bit of a leeway?
They are two separate things. Without going too deeply into it, the emergency orders apply to a series of different acts and regulations of government. You know, I can't remember how many there are, 20 to 30 of them, I think, that have special orders attached to them. And so those have been, you know, those have been pushed to the 29th. So state of emergency is the overarching approach that government is taking. And then legislatively, it's had to do emergency orders under specific acts to give authority and definition and guidance to the population and to government and how to move forward.
Okay, and our state of emergency is still ongoing?
The city of Timmins state of emergency declared by Mayor Perry remains in effect.
Okay, perfect. Thank you.
Okay, any further questions? All right, hearing none, we'll go over to Mayor Perry.
Thank you again. I want to clarify something that I had said earlier in relation to being out of this. I didn't mean to imply that after 14 days we can go, oh, forget everything. That's not what I implied, what I meant to imply. After 14 days and no new cases, you can reasonably conclude that we've been very, very, very successful in doing what we were supposed to do in fighting this virus. It doesn't mean to suggest that our lives are going to change fundamentally on as to how we shop, how we go to the hospital, or the different ways of behavior when we're out there doing our daily business. Obviously, it's still circulating in the globe. We don't know how this will evolve over the next couple of months. I'm suggesting that Timmins is doing a great job, and patterns, behaviors will change. There's questions in relation to the long-term care facilities. That's exactly why they're doing that independent review. I'm sure at the end of the day, the roles and perhaps wage rates for PSWs and such will change. I'm sure that in design of any new facilities, there'll be one person to a room. There may be, you may have to allow for more room to allow some of the individuals there that need to walk around. It's going to be a multifaceted look at the future. Our schools, I think, will be fundamentally different when they do go back in the fall. But we have done everything as we're supposed to have done correctly here in the city of Timmins, and I think we're doing a great job. As I said, I'm very, very proud of what the citizens have done. I think I've got a bit of time because it does fit in with the idea that, you know, the outbreak was lifted at Golden Manor. And I just want to read something that was given to us from the Residents Council president to the home. This is our home. Therefore, we, the residents, understand and appreciate the protective measures implemented by our caregivers for our benefit. And we are doing our part to help our caregivers give us, our home, and themselves safe and health from the COVID-19 virus. We have accepted the challenges that this pandemic has delivered to all of us. Self-isolating away from our loved ones, no community outings except for emergency medical appointments, daily screening for both us and our caregivers, physical distancing of each other at mealtimes, and little or no planned activities are the sacrifices that we understand we all must make to stay healthy and safe. All of our caregivers here in our home at the Golden Manor have always given us so much of their time, affection, and expertise to support us, the residents, every day. However, this is especially true now throughout this pandemic. Please know what you do does not go unnoticed. We respect it and appreciate it. For your dedication, thank you. For your professionalism, thank you. For your compassion, thank you. For putting your own life on pause while you manage all our daily activities and meet our physical, emotional, spiritual, and medical needs, thank you. Thank you. You are doing an amazing job, and we, the residents, are grateful that you do. Here at our home, we are all in this together, even though we must stand apart. And that's Marcella Pineapple, and she is the Golden Manor Residents Council President. So I wanted that to read that out to all the staff at the Golden Manor, and that's, of course, from your residents. So job well done. As I say, our next conference will be a week today on the 27th, and we'll see how we're doing then. Thanks a lot. Bye now.
All right. Thank you, Mayor. Perry, and once again, thank you to the members of the media for helping us get news out.